A contentious fight over the fate of renewable energy came to a close on Tuesday night. Arizona voters soundly rejected Proposition 127 when they went to the polls. That would have required half of Arizona's energy to come from renewable sources over the next decade. So what should we take away from this defeat? To get more on that, we're joined now by KJZZ's Will Stone, who's been covering this fight over Prop 127. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Lauren.
Okay, so let's first start with the numbers. How badly was this defeated by voters?
It was bad. Nearly 70% of voters said no, according to the most recent numbers from the Secretary of State. It performed worse than any of the other ballot measures, and that's pretty remarkable considering just how much was spent on this measure, mm-hmm. Lauren. Tens of millions of dollars by both sides. California billionaire and progressive activist Tom Steyer was the primary backer of the measure, and opposing it was the parent company of the state's largest utility, Arizona Public Service, which really used its influence to round up a large coalition of people to oppose the measure, arguing it will drive up prices. So it turned out to be the most expensive ballot measure in the state's history.
Okay, so why? Why did voters go so strongly against it?
Well, clearly, both sides have their own interpretation of events. The campaign for Prop 127 really pins the blame on the ballot language. There was some controversy over how that was modified by the Attorney General, Mark Brnovich. That included a key phrase on the ballot that said the utilities would have to meet the new, more aggressive renewable energy target, quote, irrespective of cost.
Right.
This, the campaign for Prop 127, argued really skewed voters' understanding, and you couple that with the barrage of ads warning consumers this will spike their bills. It was kind of a perfect storm of confusion, fear. Actually, the campaign shared some of its internal polling, and you can see how voter support dropped off significantly when this language was added. Mm. You know, but even in defeat, supporters of the measure feel it's made a mark. Here's what the campaign spokesperson DJ Quinlan said the other night.
I think what we've done successfully is point out the amount of politicians that are beholden to APS and make sure that ultimately they now have to distance themselves, that they can no longer have this cozy relationship and do the bidding of APS without the voters knowing about it.
And this polling that they found that voter support was dropping off because of fears of costs kind of might explain why they went after Brnovich so aggressively toward the end of the campaign. Mm-hmm. Presumably, they thought it was kind of the best way to flip the narrative.
Right, right. So what does APS have to say about that argument? Is there any sign they're concerned?
Not that surprisingly, they do not buy this narrative. This is how Jenna Rowell, a spokesperson for APS, responded to Quinlan's comments that this has hurt their brand.
It's a devastating loss for Prop 127, and so I think that is their spin on the defeat. They're trying to salvage their major investments in a campaign that Arizona soundly rejected.
So, Will, was there a Tom Steyer factor here then, this California billionaire who poured just incredible amounts of money into this? Did people not like that?
You bet, Lauren. This certainly was a Steyer factor. He's a polarizing figure, after all. He's led an effort to impeach the president, and he was really cast as the out-of-state billionaire trying to manipulate Arizona's constitution, you know, to great effect. I probably don't have to tell listeners this, but there's a general suspicion of California coming into Arizona, you know, especially when it comes to politics. It's worth noting the election results don't indicate politicians really paid a price for backing APS, though. The most striking example is the Attorney General himself. Brnovich took a lot of heat from the Prop 127 campaign, as we were just saying, and this idea of playing with the ballot language. Well, Brnovich won re-election, and this is what he had to say during his victory speech.
So Tom Steyer, kiss my thank you very much.
So that's our Attorney General.
We had to believe that, yes.
And he clearly felt that this was him versus Tom Steyer. Yeah. And he was running against a Democrat, but it kind of had a way of seeping into other races, like the Attorney General's race.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but Arizona wasn't the only state where there was an initiative like this. Tell us what happened in Nevada.
No, it really was a tale of two ballot measures, you could say. Steyer pushed the same renewable energy measure in Nevada, 50% by 2030, and that actually won there. It's an interesting difference because Nevada is quite similar to Arizona. It's a top market for solar. There's wide support for clean energy there, you know, just like Arizona.
So how do you explain that? Was there a difference in how this played out there?
There was. The biggest is that there was really no organized opposition in Nevada. The utility company there, NV Energy, stayed neutral on it. Mm. And the Democrat who was elected governor supported the measure, as well as some other politicians there. There just was not nearly the kind of spending and politicizing of the measure as we saw here. And the language of the measure also was a bit different. I read through it. It did not include a phrase like irrespective of cost. Mm-hmm. Finally, though, Nevada, unlike Arizona, will need to vote on this measure again in 2 years. It's part of how the law works there. And so we'll see. Maybe in 2 years, there'll be more urgency.
Right. Okay. That's KJZZ's Will Stone. Will, thanks so much.
Thanks, Lauren.